The crown was sitting too high. That was the whole problem, and I didn't know it until the whole row had turned soft and gray by late May. I'd planted 18 June-bearing plants the first week of April, pressed the soil firm around each one, watered them in well, and felt genuinely proud of myself. 2 weeks later, I noticed a single yellowing leaf on the third plant from the left, low to the ground, half buried in mulch, turning a pale washed-out yellow at the edges. I thought it was just an adjustment leaf, something the plant shed as it settled in. I pulled it off and moved on. That was my mistake, and it cost me the whole first season. If you've ever watched a strawberry plant die slowly while looking perfectly fine from a distance, this episode is for you. First-year strawberry failure is one of the most common and most preventable losses in a home garden, and it almost always comes down to a handful of decisions made in the first 2 weeks of planting. Crown depth, drainage, bloom discipline, runner timing. These aren't complicated concepts, but they work together in ways that most beginner guides never explain. Today we're going to walk through all of it, the way I wish someone had explained it to me the first time I tried to grow strawberries in raised beds in the mid-Atlantic, with clay-heavy soil and April rain that wouldn't quit. I've been growing food for close to 20 years. I've had strawberry rows that produced so heavily I couldn't harvest fast enough. I've also had rows that gave me exactly nothing, and the difference almost always came back to what happened in the first 30 days after planting. There's a smell that comes up from wet soil in early spring, that particular mix of cold mineral earth and something just beginning to open. It hits you when you kneel down close to a new planting and press your fingers into the mulch to check moisture. That's where we're going to spend this episode, down at soil level, where the real decisions are made. Let's start with the one thing that ruins more first-year strawberry patches than anything else. Crown depth is non-negotiable. The crown is the dense growing center of the strawberry plant, the slightly thickened collar where the leaves meet the roots. It is not a root, it is not a stem. It is the most sensitive part of the plant, and where you place it in relation to the soil surface will determine whether your plant grows, rots, or barely survives. The rule is simple: the crown must sit exactly at soil level, not buried, not raised, right at the surface, with the top of the crown, the growing point, just barely visible above the soil line. When you bury the crown, you are sealing it in moisture it cannot escape. Botrytis, the gray mold fungus that attacks strawberries, thrives in exactly that condition, wet, still air around dense plant tissue. It enters through damaged cells and moves quickly. By the time you see gray fuzz on the foliage, the crown is already compromised. When you plant too shallow and the crown sits up high, exposed to drying air and temperature swings, the roots lose contact with consistent moisture. The plant stalls. It never really takes hold. I see both mistakes regularly, but buried crowns cause more losses because the damage is hidden. The plant looks fine for 2, sometimes 3 weeks. Then the symptoms arrive all at once. That yellowing leaf I noticed on the third plant, the one I pulled off without thinking, was the first signal. A single pale leaf at soil level, early in the season, in a plant that otherwise looked healthy, is worth stopping for. It's the kind of signal that rewards attention. I'll come back to what it was actually telling me. Before we go deeper into the growing mechanics, I want to say something about drainage, because it works with crown depth in a way most people don't account for. Strawberries will not tolerate standing water around their roots, not even briefly. Their roots are shallow and fine, and they need consistent moisture, but that moisture has to move. A bed that drains slowly after rain creates the same conditions as a buried crown: saturated soil pressing against the crown tissue for hours longer than the plant can handle. If you're growing in raised beds, check your drainage before planting. Set a hose at the base and let it run for 2 minutes. The water should move away from the center of the bed within 30 seconds of stopping. If it pools and sits, you need more grit. Coarse perlite, horticultural sand, or small gravel worked into the top 4 inches will help. If you're planting in the ground, the same test applies. The smell of the soil will often tell you too. Heavy, sour, slightly sulfurous soil that has been compacted is not ready for strawberries. It needs amendment before anything goes in. My first strawberry patch was in ground that held water at the low end of the bed. I knew it drained slowly. I'd seen it after heavy rain, but I planted anyway, reasoning that the row ran north to south and the low end was at the north, where I planted fewer plants. That logic didn't hold. 3 of the 5 plants at the north end had root rot by early June. The roots were short, dark brown at the tips, and slimy when I pulled them. Healthy strawberry roots are cream-colored or pale tan and slightly firm. Dark roots mean oxygen-depleted soil, and by the time you see it, the window for recovery is usually closed. There's another smell worth knowing. When you pull a struggling strawberry plant from wet soil and the roots have turned, you'll get a faint sweet-sour odor, almost like overripe fruit just starting to ferment. It's not dramatic, but once you've smelled it, you'll recognize it immediately the next time, and you'll know to pull the plant before it spreads to the ones beside it. Now let's talk about something that almost every first-year grower gets wrong, and that almost every beginner guide glosses over: bloom pinching. When a June-bearing strawberry plant sets blossoms in its first season, you need to remove them, all of them. This is not a guideline. This is the practice that separates a productive second-year plant from one that struggles indefinitely. Here's why. A strawberry plant that flowers in its first year is directing energy toward fruit production before it has established the root mass needed to support a meaningful harvest. The plant will push out small, often tasteless berries. The roots will stay shallow. The plant will go into its first winter in a weakened state, and its second-year production, which is when June bearers are supposed to shine, will be significantly reduced. When you remove the blossoms, you are telling the plant to put that energy into roots and runners instead. The plant will push deeper into the soil. It will send out daughter plants that you can either pin down to root in place or remove, depending on your system. It will build the carbohydrate reserves it needs to survive winter and come back strong. Pinch every blossom from the moment it appears through the end of June in most temperate climates. After that, if your season is long enough and your plants have established well, you can let late summer blossoms set, but in most first-year situations, you'll see more benefit from pinching the full season and letting the plants focus entirely on vegetative growth. This requires patience that a lot of gardeners find genuinely difficult. You planted these things to get strawberries. Watching the flowers appear and then removing them feels counterproductive. But this is one of the places where the long game pays off in a way that is completely concrete and measurable. I learned that the hard way after my third attempt at a strawberry bed, when I let half the row flower in year one because I couldn't stand pulling them. That half produced sparse, watery fruit and came back thin in year two. The half I disciplined came back thick and heavy. I want to come back to that yellowing leaf. By the time I understood what it was telling me, it was late May and I had already lost 5 plants in that row. That single pale leaf at soil level, the one I noticed in week two and pulled without investigating, was an early marker of Botrytis cinerea establishing in the crown tissue. The crown of that plant had been set just slightly too deep. The mulch had settled against it after the first heavy rain. The combination of buried crown and slow draining soil at that end of the bed created a pocket of still damp air right where the plant was most vulnerable. The yellowing leaf was the outermost tissue showing stress, the first visible sign of what was already happening underground. If I had noticed it, knelt down, pulled back the mulch, and looked at the crown directly, I would have found the beginning of gray mold just starting at the base. At that stage, I could have pulled back the mulch, allowed the crown to dry out, treated with a light application of neem oil, and possibly saved the plant. The window is narrow, but it exists. By the time I had a second yellowing leaf on the same plant, 10 days later, the crown was soft when I touched it. That plant was already gone. The 5 that followed it in the next 2 weeks had been planted with the same slightly too deep technique in the same drainage-challenged section of bed. One pale leaf at soil level is not always botrytis. It can be a natural shedding leaf, a nitrogen issue, or simply the plant adjusting. But in a new planting, in the first 3 weeks, with any history of slow drainage, stop and look closely, pull back the mulch, examine the crown, check the color and firmness of the tissue at the base. That 30 seconds of investigation is worth more than any treatment you can apply later. If the crown is firm and cream-colored with no soft spots, you're fine. Put the mulch back and watch the plant for another week. If there's softening or any gray fuzz, pull the plant immediately, remove it from the bed, and assess whether the surrounding plants show the same signs. Do not compost a plant with botrytis. Bag it and discard it. Strawberries reward close attention and punish neglect, but not in the dramatic way that a tomato plant signals distress. They decline quietly. They give you small hints, a leaf here, a slightly off-color crown there, before the problem becomes obvious. The gardeners who have productive strawberry patches for years are not the ones with the best soil amendments or the most expensive varieties. They are the ones who kneel down and look, "Here's what I want to leave you with." If you're putting in your first strawberry patch this season, the most important thing you can do is spend the first 30 days paying attention to the plants at soil level rather than the leaves at the top. Check crown depth after every rain. Pull back mulch every week and examine the crown base directly. Pinch every blossom, even the ones that feel like a victory to see. Give your drainage the honest assessment it deserves before you plant a single runner. And if you see a single yellowing leaf at soil level in week 2 or 3, do not pull it off and move on. Stop. Look closer. That leaf is trying to tell you something. And in strawberry growing, early information is the only information that actually helps. What's your experience been with first-year strawberry establishment? Did you pinch blossoms your first season, or did you let them fruit? And if you've lost a patch to botrytis or crown rot, what was the first sign you noticed, and how long before you caught it? Tell me in the comments. I read every one of them.